people that are asking people, did you get the work done, and not asking first how you feel or how's it going or checking in, those employees of that manager or that firm are going to not be productive. If you aren't focused on your people's mental health right now, they're not going to be focused on doing the best job for your client.
Welcome back, gang, to episode 98 of Future Proof. Back here at the controls, I'm Bill Sheridan. I'm the host of this party. Yeah, the controls, like this, like this is some slick high-tech operation. You want to know what this is, folks? It's me and a mic and a laptop and a Zoom subscription. That's it. And Zoom, if you're listening, we're looking for new sponsors, so give me a call. Everybody loves Zoom, folks. Give me a call, Zoom. But that's pretty much everybody's setup these days, isn't it? We're all kind of like hermits in our homes, working online, staring into those blue screens for 8, 10, 12 hours a day. And okay, I get it. Let me stop myself right there and do a little fact-checking on that. It's not everybody's reality. And I get that. I know there's a lot of folks out there who are not working and struggling mightily as a result, or they're essential workers who have to get out and do their thing in a very public way, which creates its own set of anxieties when there's a virus floating around, right? So I get all that. I get the fact that there's, you know, a certain amount of privilege that comes with complaining about having to work from home. And I do it. I've worked from home for the past 15 years, and I complain about it all the time. And, you know, at least I can work, and I'm grateful for that. So, you know, basically, I just want everyone to be well. Whatever your situation is, I hope you're as well as you can be, and that we will all become even more well in the very near future. That's a good thing to wish for, right? And we're going to be talking about all that today, how to make sure your teams are holding up, that they're well and productive and have all the resources they need in this very difficult environment. And yes, we're going to be having that conversation in the context of remote work. So deal with that. And we're going to do all this by way of a conversation with one of our really good friends and partners. He is Richard Silberstein. Richard is managing partner of SIG, or as we call it, SIG, right? That's short for Silberstein Insurance Group. They are, well, they're experts in human resources and HR technology solutions and corporate wellness and compliance and employee communications, all kind of all the stuff that you need to keep the wheels greased at your business. And that's more important than ever right about now. So, and we'll get to that conversation here in just a minute. First, let me start by telling you that this week's show is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers, unless Zoom wants to cut in here, Zoom, looking for more sponsors. But anyway, for the time being, anyway, this week's show is sponsored by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So this is one of those conversations that a lot of people are having these days, kind of like best practices for remote work, you know, which we actually talked about here a couple of weeks ago. Well, now that you've got a remote team, you've got to take care of them, right? You've got to do all the stuff for them that you did back in the office, and probably a whole lot more now too. And advice is just about everywhere. We had I mean the Maryland Association of CPAs and the Business Learning Institute. We've been holding these weekly coronavirus updates for our members. And on one of the recent updates, we had a BLI thought leader on the show by the name of Carl Ulrichs. And I've spoken to Carl on this podcast before, way back in episode 41, to be specific. He's a really smart kind of jack of all trades kind of guy. And one of those trades is HR. And he made the point that in addition to all the stuff that we have traditionally done for our teams in an HR sort of way, this crisis has made it necessary to do a whole lot of other stuff as well. And like what? Well, how about preparing your office for social distancing? How about making sure everyone has the personal protective equipment they need to stay safe? How about a process for what you're going to do if, God forbid, one of your employees comes down with COVID-19? It's a whole new world, folks, and that applies to everyone, HR folks included. In fact, as if to make that very point, CNBC published an article recently titled "How the Coronavirus Crisis Has Elevated the Role of HR Chiefs in the C-Suite." And here's what author Susan Caminiti had to say. She said, quote, "During this time of major upheaval and uncertainty, the chief human resources officer is a loud voice in the coronavirus war room. These chief people officers are the ones having daily, if not hourly, conversations with the CEO and other senior leaders on how best to navigate a situation that no one possibly could have fathomed. They're the ones helping to keep anxiety-ridden employees informed about what's happening with the company and up to date on the resources, financial and medical, that can help them stay calm and productive. And as organizations begin the early discussions about when employees might be able to return to work, it's the chief human resource officer's job to create a blueprint for what that might look like. In short, they're therapists, benefits counselors, and strategists," end quote. And then Caminiti went on to quote Johnny Taylor Jr., who's the CEO for the Society of Human Resource Management. And here's what he told her. He said, quote, "In the earliest days, we thought the coronavirus was strictly a healthcare issue, but it became clear how quickly it morphed into a people issue and how chief human resource officers are playing a critical role in helping their companies get through this," end quote. So now is the time, really, for HR professionals to shine. And Richard Silberstein is here this week to show us how. We talked about a lot of this stuff and more. And, you know, you really can't have too much really great advice and guidance at a time like this, can you? And so I was really happy that Richard took the time to speak with me this week. Great advice and guidance for these crazy times. Here's my conversation with Richard Silberstein. Well, Richard, thank you for joining me today. My first question for you is the same one that I've been asking pretty much all of our guests lately: is how are you? How are things with you and your family and your team?
Family's good. Everybody's doing well. My wife made the most strategic decision, best decision possible, by getting a foster dog. So we have a nice 1-year-old puppy in the house. So I have certain routines that I wasn't doing before that I'm doing, which are helping with my own well-being. Yeah. And our team's doing great. We had a flexible work environment before this, and so we were built for this, and we're doing well. And then we're figuring out how to work a little bit more collaboratively, because not everybody can work the same 8-hour days they were working before. So we're figuring out how to manage throughout the crisis pandemic and still give a great customer service to our clients. And we're getting through it.
Great. Great. Well, I know, you know, a lot of folks are struggling with a lot of things right now. How to manage their team in a remote environment like this, how to stay on top of all the, I mean, there's been a ton of changes and pronouncements and all kinds of things just flying at folks from all angles, you know, not just federal government, but state, local. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening from an HR standpoint, employee benefits. What's new as a result of all this stuff? What do people need to know, like, right now?
So what's interesting, I was on a panel yesterday with the CFO Alliance with other professionals, and one of the things that I thought about as I prepared for it is there's so much information, and it really depends on what bucket you're in. So I sort of had three buckets of employers: those that are business as usual, right, and they're trying to figure out what they can and can't do, what they need to be telling their employees, what they need to be doing in messaging regarding safety and new rules of engagement for working on the work site. But like Monday, we had one client where 30% of the employees didn't show up, right? Got an email this morning from a employer that said, hey, my employee didn't show up. What can I do, right? So those are the people that are sort of business as usual, operating and trying to manage their workforce that might be worried about being out and not quarantined, right? Mm-hmm. Next one is reduction in force. The majority of the people that we're seeing are reducing their employees via furlough and still covering their benefits. So we're seeing a lot of that where they're sort of hoping for the best, like in 30 or 60 days, I hope to bring these people back. I want to provide them benefits, reducing them to part-time. And those are things where people need to check with their carrier, their broker, just make sure that whatever whatever contracts and policies you have in place, that you're not doing something where somebody's not going to get benefits when they think they're going to get benefits in the future. And then the last one is the mass layoffs. We have a restaurant group laid off 1,000 people. Health and wellness group lay off 300 people. And that's all about just, you know, we're skinning it down to a minimum. What happens to our plans? What happens to our pricing? You know, what do we need to do to just get these people off our payroll? So those are sort of the three buckets. And everybody needs to do a lot, but right now it's kind of like, oh, man your battle stations. And what do I need to know just for my own situation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So for folks in the, let's focus on our audience, which is the accounting and finance world, who to the best of our knowledge, most folks who kind of work in this space are considered essential employees, still at work, still able to go into the office, although many of them are not. What do they need to know? What do the folks who lead groups like this need to know from an HR point of view for teams that are, you know, they're considered essential. They're still working. They're mostly remote, but may end up being called into the office. So, you know, depending on their situation, I mean, what kind of advice or guidance might you offer them?
So the questions that we've heard from CPA firms that are on our, we have these weekly radio show webinars with legal counsel. To sort of give everybody updates and answer questions. What we've heard is from the CPA professions is what happens if people need to go to the office, but they don't want to go to the office? Like, what can I do, right? I feel like everybody that is, are your members of the CPA firms, I feel they probably know by now social distancing, washing your hands, you know, trying to work remotely as much as possible. Probably all have technology set up, so I don't really see a lot from a rules standpoint unless they're going to start laying people off, right? I think the reality is at some point their clients aren't going to pay them, their clients are going to be out of business, and then they're going to be more in the reduction in force and layoffs. But right now, I'm not hearing that in your profession. I think what's more important for your folks is not so much the COVID-19. Rules and regulations, but the but sort of managing people during this challenging time in terms of their own well-being, their own energy, you know, not expecting somebody to work 9 to 5, but making sure that somebody's going to be clear on your outcomes, but be flexible on how somebody gets there. If somebody has an employee that was working in the office at daycare, now they're home with 3 kids, right? I think that's the thing that you need to really be careful of. And on our webinar we had with Laura Rubenstein from Ray Constable & Skeen yesterday, one of her partners pointed out that in 2008, the largest EEOC claims came when people were terminated, unemployment benefits kicked in, and then people were suing their employer because of how they did it. So it's kind of like, let's treat everybody as humanely and as well as possible because we're all in this together. And figure out how to manage people in this challenging time and how to do things that might be unorthodox compared to before that allows people to feel like you're really caring about them as opposed to, did you get those tax returns? Right? Yeah. And to start every phone call, every meeting, try to do it in person over Zoom with how you doing, how you feeling. Let's just not get right into the tactical side of things.
Yeah, we've actually started doing that. Well, we've been doing it for a while at the MACPA.
most of our meetings start with, you know, just one loop around the table, one piece of good news, or you know, one piece of personal good news, and then one of professional, or just, you know, just trying to kick the meeting off with something that's going to put us in a positive mindset, and I think it helps. I really do.
And we're having a lot of employees do Friday happy hours, and it doesn't have to be your drinking. And there's an app called House Party my folks told me about, which is like a combination of Snapchat meets Zoom. Right. So I see on social media people with thinking about funny faces and costumes and laughing. And, from that standpoint, one thing that we have at our firm that, again, we're a best places to work, and we want to be a best places to work in a pandemic versus not pandemic, is a lot of our working moms said, hey, can you have only morning meetings? Like, I can only put my kid in front of the TV for so long. So all our meetings from 8 to 12. And we're not having people schedule meetings in the afternoon where somebody has to be on. We have more frequent meetings for different reasons. And now we have people where their kids are joining the Zoom meeting, right? So I think it's just, we're all in this together. Let's figure out best practices. We can share with you and your members. We were just on a call today. There's so many free resources available, so much information that people need because they haven't worked from home before. Like we were just talking this morning, that there's now telehealth for pets. So you have telehealth for employees, now you have telehealth for pets, and then you have more virtual visits for mental health.
That's really interesting. So where, let's start from an HR point of view, where if people have questions, specific questions that they don't know the answers to, where can they turn for help? Where are you directing them for help at this point?
So two things, our clients or prospective clients of the firm, or anybody for that matter, every week we're having a weekly radio show webinar, and that is recorded and the PowerPoint is on our website and it's open for all. And so I would just say, we have accounting firms that are participating that are saying, hey, this is great information, and they're inviting their clients to join it from that standpoint. Next Tuesday, we have Doug Damaris back along with Adam Meehan from Smith & Downey. We have just, things are changing daily, hourly, right? And certain things are not clarified and rules are coming out. The IRS is releasing clarification on things. So I would just say, one is we have a COVID-19 section on our website that has a lot of great resources, you know, sample furlough letters, you know, best practices from that standpoint. As a member of the MACP, if anybody wants to email me, I'll direct them to the right person. And then either they should be talking to their benefits broker, they should be talking to their attorney. We don't see a lot of HR questions so much as a more compliance and employment law, if that makes sense. It's like, what can I do? What can I not do? Somebody did this. Somebody is doing this, which I have a concern about. I think we were on a call with CFOs yesterday, and I think there are some best practices from a technology standpoint, right? This is a time when there's a lot of hacking going on, and all of a sudden you give your work laptop to your kids and they're on some kind of website, especially teenage kids. So I just think there's such a broad spectrum of things people are asking, you know, and so if they want to direct it to us, we have HR people that help our clients, and we're happy to help any of your members. We're in that phase of people trying to process everything. We're in that phase where people thought it was going to be 15 to 20 days and we might not be going back to the office until May, mm-hmm. right? June, right?
Yep.
So we're going to get to a point in the next couple weeks where we're going to go from, I'm not getting paid. I need to cut heads. I need to save money. And so we're hearing from CFOs that I'm not there yet, but I'm going to have to make some choices of taking those furloughed people and terming them, mm-hmm. or what are the ways to save money, right? So I'm just letting you know that in the next 30 days, it's kind of like, can I change my employee deduction? Can I add a low-cost health plan? You know, if I have a payroll vendor and I haven't reviewed the pricing in a while, we just had a situation last week where somebody got a 20% reduction off of ADP, from their cost. So it's So it's really people starting to think through, where can I save money? And I would just tell you, I would think about shared sacrifice, and I think about saving money anywhere you can before you start cutting heads, unless you have to. Yep. Just because if you read the Simon Sinek book, this is going to be over at some point. You're going to come out of it. We're going to get back to normal. And how you handle your employees is going to be a big determination of whether they want to come back, right? Yep. Or how your existing employees feel about it. So this is a time where leaders are going to lead. People are going to show their true colors. And, you know, we just need to be maybe more strategic and less reactionary. Although we know some people are going to, you know, have to be reactionary. So that's my own thing is just, there's so many things that you can do before you have to get to that point. And that is going to benefit you because you have these people that have been servicing your clients. And if you lose those people, your clients are going to get as great a service. And at some point when this is over, if they're not getting great service, they're going to go to some other service provider. Just, you know, food for thought.
Fantastic. That's great. Let's switch gears here to wellness for a second, because I mean, this has been, I mean, I've never seen this topic come so much to the fore as it has over the past month or so, for a couple of different reasons. I mean, it just as a quick example. So I've been full-time remote for the last 15 years or so. It suits me. It's, you know, I'm an introvert. My work is pretty much heads down type of stuff. And I find that I'm really productive in this environment. Now, I was on a meeting with a coworker last week who said, I cannot stand working from home. And she said, I think the reason is I am such an extrovert that I can't, you know, being holed up in my home just by myself is driving me up the wall. And so I think there's a lot of that type of stuff going on, not necessarily, you know, that type of specific thing, but there are a lot of wellness issues that are kind of bubbling to the surface as a result of the environment that we're in. And I'm just kind of curious, what kind of things are you hearing that strike you as being particularly important or things that we need to be paying attention to as we're thinking about the wellness of the people that we work with?
So a couple things. I was on a call with Care First Leadership on Friday. They're seeing a 25% reduction in claims because a lot of people are not getting elective surgery and the hospitals aren't accepting that type of medical care right now. Mm-hmm. But they're seeing a substantial increase in video visits and telehealth. And 80% are anxiety or depression, right? Mm-hmm. So people's worlds have been rocked. People have fear, uncertainty, a loss of control. You know, there's just so many emotions going on. And on any given day, even my best people have what we call circles in their head. Like, am I going to lose my job, right? Mm-hmm. So I think this is a time, and I would just highly recommend Joe McClinsky of Shift. Had a great webinar 2 weeks ago about sort of managing in a time of change. There's one tomorrow at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock on rocking the remote workplace. I really believe it's up to everybody to think about how you are a better leader, right? Mm-hmm. And what your messaging is and leading by example and showing that you really care. And I think this is a time where Simon Sinek in his book, Infinite Games, talks about the infinite mindset, yep, about really focusing on we're all in this together, we're going to get through it. And people that are treating people as if it's business as usual, right? People that are asking people, did you get the work done, and not asking first how you feel or how's it going or checking in, those employees of that manager or that firm are going to not be productive. If you aren't focused on your people's mental health right now, they're not going to be focused on doing the best job for your clients, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there's so many resources available. We had a HR roundtable in November on creating a mentally healthy culture. And there was a discussion about where it's okay now to talk about the stigma of mental health. One of my own employees posted on Facebook, she had moved to South Carolina, thought she was going to be able to come home. And she shared, you know, how sad she is, how she's had days where she's, you know, been crying, and the team rallied around her, right? So I just think this is a point where your members, employees know how to be good people, right? They know how to be good friends. And it's figuring out culturally, age-wise, demographic-wise, what works. As an example, we are beginning weekly huddles, because this came up in the session on creating mentally healthy workplace, of huddles weekly of people with little kids being able just to get together voluntarily to talk about what their challenges and struggles are, sort of like a group therapy session, right? Those with adolescents, those that are single. You know, we have starting book clubs during the week, summer personal, summer business book club. We have things where people are collaborating where they say, what do they binge watch on Netflix this weekend? I really believe that all of you that are listening, that are in the leadership role, support your people, letting them know that you'll support them any way you can, whatever they want to do, and let them figure that out, right? I mean, we have a happy hour this Friday for people with kids. So we have a regional happy hour. People with kids are all going to get together, and they're not going to be, you know, let's say drinking booze with their kids, but with little kids, and they have activities, right? So I just think that this is a time where there's a lot of ways to sort of reboot your business. Think about life differently than you did before.
And from an individual's point of view, individual team members out there who, you know, all of a sudden find themselves having to work remotely with no one else around. And I mean, what can we be doing, each of us on our own, to make sure that that we're staying well, that we're taking care of ourselves and being the best version of ourselves, both personally and professionally?
So if I'm a leader, I would be calling up your people without any reason to call up and just say, hey, I'm checking in. How you doing? Mm-hmm. I would not leave it just to your managers, right? I would let people know that you really care about them, that we're going to get through this. It's all about messaging, hope, positivity. And for the people that are a little crispy or that they really need help because they're really struggling, you know, how to have managers working together to say, hey, I got some my team, right? I know your team is challenged because you know, you have three people working from home with three kids at home. Let's see how we can help out. So I just think it's where you need to think differently than before, not silos, not individuals. And I would tell you, there might be a weekly huddle of our introverts, right? We know who they are, and they don't like the all hands meetings. They don't like to have the public shout outs, right? Yep. And you know, so it's really figuring out who your people are and connecting them to their resources, either in
Those webinars and other resources that you were mentioning earlier, you say you record those? Or are they available on your website?
Yep, www.silbs.com on our website. MACPA folks can access those. We're also sharing our resources with MACPA. And what's great is you can text, email, or chat in any questions. Okay. So they're usually an hour. So now we're having them an hour and a half. The last one, two webinars ago went 2 hours, but where people are having live legal experts on the phone and they're getting their help, you know, right away. And then what we're doing is we're going to continue to have those. The other thing that we're going to be doing is beginning some webinars on the mental health, the well-being. You know, right now we're getting through the COVID, but we really feel if we're in this in April, you know, we probably need, you know, some more resources for people, like the webinar tomorrow on Rock in the Workplace, and let people be able to call, chat, text in, and ask questions from that standpoint.
Fantastic. Well, Richard, it's been great talking to you. Thanks so much for the insights. Stay well, stay healthy, and same to your team and your family. I hope things continue to go well for you.
Yeah, I have one thing for your members that I think is really important is that if you're insured by Care First, there's a 60-day premium holiday. So March and April, May, if you don't know about that. Also, other cares are providing premium holidays. So it's really important for all of you that are busy working from home, whether you have the resources, not have the resources, really go to the Care First website, go to your carrier website and see if there's any relief for you or anything that's changed that really is going to help you and your employees have lower out-of-pocket. Many of the carriers are lowering their out-of-pocket costs, their copays. So just important for all your members to know that.
That's great advice and something that I think a lot of us don't stop to consider, but there is some relief out there. So
yep,
Yep. Perfect advice. Thank you.
Well, it's glad to be here and look forward to sharing some more resources with you, and happy to chat with you anytime you need me.
A really, really great conversation there with Richard Silberstein, managing partner of SIG. You can get more information about all the great stuff that they do at silbs.com. That's silbs.com. And, you know, there's a ton of great resources on the web that center on HR as it relates to the coronavirus. And we've listed a bunch of our favorites on the BLI blog. That's the Business Learning Institute blog. Be sure to check them out at blionline.org/blog. And finally, just a reminder, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's future-ready learning framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. And we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPA. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning. And that is officially all I've got for you, folks. Have a great week. Stay safe, stay well, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care.